Attention musicians, do you want to hear your music on vinyl? Maybe doing the regular run at 100 minimum is a little too much for you? Do you ever wish there was a place that did short run, like 1 to 50 copies of vinyl? Well, Austin Signal does. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional recording modern services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Simply go to AustinSignal.com and click on How Did I Get Here, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get there, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. Just enter the promo code HDIGH. That's Austin Signal. Go get you some vinyl. Let's get down. Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Whether you need personalized career guidance and mentoring, tools and resources to help you succeed, opportunity, a pipeline to the local music industry, or all of the above, Austin Music Foundation has you covered. Austin Music Foundation provides ongoing artist development services through its expert educational panels, one-on-one consultations, online tools and resources, events and panels, mixers, and much, much more. Go to AustinMusicFoundation.org to get involved. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week. Whatever it is you did this week, I had a good week. My girlfriend Jenna came in on Monday, and we hung out. I was in the studio there with Kid Jones for the Austin Music Foundation Artist Development Program recording at the Bubble. Then I came home, hung out with Jenna, got to see Mandalorian. No spoilers here. I'll tell you this though, it is good, and it's heavy. Then we watched this this documentary called Free Solo about climbing, because my girlfriend's into rock climbing. She's a rock climber as well as a photographer. And so we went to a climbing gym the next day, and I went climbing for the first time in a gym. I'm not going to tell you how well I did because I think it might blow your minds. I have a fear height, so I did not excel at climbing, even in the gym. And there were mats and shit for me to lay on. At one point, I was doing a rope thing, and Jenna was doing the rope. It's called belaying. She was belaying me. There's one thing I do really like. I go, climb, and then she goes, climb on. And that's how it works. That's pretty cool. I like climb on. I think that... I think that that's a great phrase. I'm going to start using it for other stuff too. Anyway, I did have a good time doing that. And yeah, it's been a good week. Been busy, rehearsed with Skyrocket, did some podcasts, got some people coming out next week. I think you guys are going to like hearing the podcasts that come out for the Thanksgiving week. It's going to be a good week. And yeah, I've had a decent week. Hopefully your week has been good too. As I said, I was in the studio with the Austin Music Foundation Artist Development Program doing the final session with the great Kid Jones. Fantastic hip-hop artist. And speaking of that, Austin Music Foundation's Artist of the Month for November 2019 is hip-hop artist and visual artist Mike Melano. His brand new album, Clagidew, dropped last Friday, November 15th, and you can find it wherever it is you stream and download your jams. You can find him at goldaintcheap.com. That's goldaintcheap.com. And you can find his visual art is absolutely amazing. We bonded on the fact that we're both big fans of Basquiat, Jean-Michel Basquiat, and that whole sort of like 80s New York movement that Andy Warhol had going on. And man, we have a great conversation. He's a great, great writer. His record, Clagidew, is really a statement. He's ready to go, you know? He's ready to take off and be the artist that everybody wants him to be. And I think he's ready for it. We have a great conversation. Great, great conversation. In fact, he came over last week, and we sat down and talked before he went and got a day. The city of Austin proclaimed November 14th, 2019, Mike Melano Day. That's right. The mayor presented him with a proclamation. Anyway, you can find him at goldaintcheap.com. You can find his brand new album, Clagidew, as well as his last few releases for the last 3 years. He's released four, uh, three records and one EP in the last 3 years. So he's got a wealth of music. He's an incredibly prolific artist, both musically and visually. So go to goldaintcheap.com or find Kladjadu, wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Absolutely gorgeous record. Fantastic, fantastic rapper. And what a great statement. All right? So without further ado, gang, enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented Mike Melano. Let's get down.
Imagine life without innovation. Imagine light without darkness. Imagine imagination without a man. Niggas ain't gonna do shit.
Y'all in the way, I'm the new wave, make a new way for me. Y'all in the way, time to get paid, I know the way to feed. Y'all in the way, fuck out my face, I got a place to be. Y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way, I'm the new wave, make a new way for me. Y'all in the way, time to get paid, I know the way to feast. Y'all in the way, fuck out my face, I got a place to be. Y'all in the way.
Does this weather remind you of Detroit at all? Like when it's cold like this?
Yeah. I kind of feel like this is like my season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially being out here. You know, I was thinking about it today. Like even having this honorary day situation during the cold.
Yeah, congratulations, like, by the way. Yeah, today you're getting that. Today is Mike Melano Day in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I've been trying to figure out how to feel about it. Because I've never experienced or never thought about it. So like I think this is like the most dope, cool, random thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. So, I got one.
Oh, word?
Like 20-something years ago.
How did it make you feel?
Well, I was stressed out because I had to play at City Hall.
Yeah. Is that stressful for you?
It was just like I had to play by myself, like acoustic, okay. And they're in the middle of their thing, and that was stressful. And I was in the middle of painting my house.
Okay.
I'm not joking. Like, it was a total, like, I gotta go do this. And then they gave me all the stuff, and I didn't know what to do with it. But you know who loved it is my grandma. I gave it to her. She, like, shit a brick.
Wow. See, like, it's kind of like my mom thing.
Yeah, like, she would blow, like, it would blow her mind. Your mom's still around?
Yeah. She, I flew her out today.
Oh, good. So she gets to be there for
it.
Oh, cool.
So, like, I'm trying to have this moment. If anything, I feel like that is more for her, definitely.
Yeah. Can I say the name of the album? Kladjadu.
Kladjadu, yeah.
Kladjadu.
Yeah.
Okay. Kladjadu is fucking great, man.
No, I appreciate that.
From the opening statement, you've got a purpose, man.
Yeah.
And you come out with almost like a mantra of get out my way.
Yeah.
Because you're ready to do it, aren't you?
Yeah. I try to keep that at my forefront mentally. Just that's how I was raised. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize my mom's getting older. You know, she's going through a lot of health issues and stuff like that. So now I'm like, I just want her to, you know, reap, you know, everything that I've been doing and all her hard work. So in my mindset, I just got to stay focused. So it's like a daily, you know, little thing I'm trying to do. But it's love within it, but it's also a lot of pain. So I got to get it how I get it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you perform live a lot? I saw that some shows you've done with like Magna Carta and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. We slowed down a little bit because it was a point where we were just doing it so much. Like a whole like last year, I feel like we were just kind of like trying to get the name out there, trying to get seen, and you know, really stamp it. And then it got to the point where we were like, you know, instead of performing all the time, let's kind of, you know, slow up and show everybody the worth. And we got better with our stage presence. And now it's we're more on the base of, if I'm on the stage, it's a very important moment. So, yeah.
How do you perform? Like, how do you execute it?
Right now, more
than just you up there?
Or? Yeah, just with a DJ right now. I would like to have a band one day. That's one of the things I'm learning out here in Austin, and just like live performances and what like a band really, you know, amplifies as far as your performances. So that's something that we're moving towards. But right now it's just me and the DJ. I don't really like a hype man, you know, be bumping me or something. That's too much.
You know? you don't need
that.
No, I think you're an amazing writer, man.
No, I appreciate it.
Beautiful.
Man.
How do you just write stuff all day long and then you make beats and then put that stuff to it, or do you make these beats and then rap to the beats? What's going on?
It's a multitude of processes, but more so when I was young, I used to write a lot. You know, I used to have this job, Panera, where I used to just be on the line, you know, just making salads all day. Shout out to Panera, though. and, like, I used to write. I wrote my whole first project, which is not on the internet anymore, but I wrote that all on napkins at work. So it's like I used to always work so much and just write. And I was to the point where I write a lot, but if I feel something with the B or we're getting very conceptual with our directions, like I'm trying to narrow down with a topic or get more in tune with my actual story. Because early on when you're making music, it's like I look at it as I can't tell you everything because my big day, my big moment hasn't, you know, that stature or plateau haven't even been, you know, breached to a degree. So if I'm letting you know everything and say that project never really gets the love or recognition, those ideas are just flushed in the toilet. So now I'm getting to that point where I want to start targeting like how it felt being in my environment in Detroit, my perspective, what I've been through. And it's a day-to-day situation because like you said, like, you know, it could be a process of making the beats or someone sending me the production, and it's something more of a feeling too. Like today I was making a beat and I was thinking of performance, so it was upbeat, you know. And that's another thing too, got to think about where is this music going and who are we touching and where's our demographic? Does this fit here or is this Coachella or right, is this right. Main? Like, you know, I'm just trying to think in that perspective so the music can have like a larger, like, you know, impact on like the people or the world in general when I release it. So like, I mean, I'm trying to get more into writing back now. I just want to drop Claude Jadu because I've been trying to write and it's been like super whack.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're really prolific. I mean, you put out like you've already put out one EP this year.
Yeah. Collaborative project with Flizoshi. Yeah, and that was
that song Tesla's badass, by the way.
Yeah, Tesla's one of my favorites. My favorite. Nah, I wish.
I want to buy you one.
You know,
just because you wrote that song because you thought like Elon Musk would hear it and be, you know, all high and be like,
the
oh,
goal.
Let's,
that was, yeah, the goal. And Micah, we're still waiting for that email or call if we possibly can or something like that.
Gotta get that. I'm just messing with you, man.
Yeah, Eric, man. What's up?
So let's go back, man. So you're from Detroit and you moved here. Before we get to Detroit, what made you move to the hip hop mecca of Austin, Texas? Because it's not very hip hop-tastic.
It's not. I was just visiting my ex-girlfriend and we had a conversation prior to me moving or coming out there for that visit, and I was just complaining about my scenario and she was just like, you know, everything could be all right, just come out here to Austin and just see how we are, you know, out here, because she just got the job. She was there for like a week. She was working at graduated from University of Houston and got this job in Austin.
Okay.
So I was just out there visiting her and literally she just suggested that I should stay because, you know, she just kind of proposed a scenario, like, what are you going back to? And I was just like, dang. And she's like, besides family, like, really, what are you going back to? I was traveling across the country. I was going overseas, you know, playing festivals. And, you know, I was going on the East Coast doing shows. Just, I couldn't make no money in Detroit. So in the process of me coming out here, that was the realest question. It's like, what am I going back for? Like, you already travel no matter where you live. And she said she'd, you know, help me with the bills. So she basically paid the bills for the first 2 months. And I got a job in 2 weeks from that time period that I missed my flight in. Just got on a horse. And I wasn't even paying. I wasn't doing nothing but music at that time. And now it's to the point where I'm modeling, you know. But she was all feeding that. Like, yo, Mike, you're too aggressive in your hoodie. Don't really talk to nobody. You got to, like, get out of that mindset because you will never be nothing. And then she asked the question, which was the realest question I've ever heard a human ask me, which is, like, which we've obviously all heard this. But in this moment, she asked me, like, what's your plan B? Because she went to school, got her job. Like, so she's successful in that world. You know, she's feeling good. But, you know, to have a boyfriend that's like, yo, I want to be a rapper. Like, yeah, you know, she was like, yo, what's your plan B, bro? And I'm like, honestly, I don't got no plan B. And she was just like, well, you got a lot of work to do. And I was just like, damn. Like, you know, it's just humans talking to me. And usually you hear this on a book or a memo or a TED Talk.
Right.
Like, you know, when somebody is really being honest.
Yeah, some people have too good of manners to.
Man. It hit me differently. So it began its journey. So
yeah.
Now I'm here.
Did you meet with Anar over at Austin Music Foundation?
Yeah. Good
people. Like that.
Yeah. I like him a lot, man.
Yeah.
I really like his energy. And for him to take the time to really listen to my music and kind of like give me some feedback was like.
He really does. Dope, man. Yeah. He's a good guy like that. Yeah. He's one of my very, very best friends.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been playing together for like 25 years.
Oh, dang, what? Yeah. So y'all in the same band?
We have been.
Okay.
And in and out. He's been playing with me lately too. But we do a lot of other stuff together with Austin Music Foundation and stuff. So let's go back to Detroit. So you were born in Detroit?
Yes. Yeah. Grace Hospital, yeah.
There's something about, like, when you say that you were, like, wearing your hoodie and you're all tough, there's something, like, inherently tough about Detroit.
Yeah.
There just is. Like, the MC5, you know, there was just always, like, this sort of, like, punk rock. You know the band Death?
No. But I know that energy that you're talking about, though. Like, I don't know if you dive into the house music, too, like, of Detroit area, too. Like,
not very much, but I would.
That whole culture, like, you know, Detroit is a very slept on city in my opinion, because it's like we come from the Motowns to the EDMs to the house music to the rock, like all this stuff and rap. And, you know, not taking away anything from, like, you know, our jazz, you know, whole influence and stuff like that. But, like, it's so much going on. But that crisis that occurred financially for the whole city just kind of knocked us back. But Detroit is an energy growing up that you kind of had to survive. Like, for real, how I was taught and raised, I had to keep a mirror in my hand, like, walking down the street. Every time somebody passed me, you know, you just look or something. You just never know. My mom taught me to keep a pen on me or something, because that's, you can never fail with, you know, a pen that can go far with you. But if anything, always keep a knife. Like, it's certain things, because you just never know. I could be walking down the street. We don't really do the Austin thing. Austin could be, hey, what's up? How you doing? Yeah. Out here, like, it's so weird. I bring my friends out here. They like, you know, and I'm like, no, it's good. All right, trust me. Back home, you probably won't talk to nobody for like 3 blocks.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you just don't know. And it's cold. It's like, yo, right. Especially right now. It's not no good time to go back home to just be trying to talk. But it's an energy and it's a survival instinct. Like, everybody's trying to get it. Everybody's trying to feed their family. And it's so aggressive. And it's like a real life definition of crab is in a bucket. Like, straight up.
Yeah. The last time I played there was like 10 years ago. And we pulled up to the place, and there was a big gate, iron gate or whatever. You had to call the guy inside, and then they came out and opened it. You pulled in, they closed the gate. And then later on, I was looking like, hey, man, I want to get a pack of cigarettes. Is there a convenience store? The guy's like, yeah, there's a gas station across the street. And I start walking. He's like, hey, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to go grab some cigarettes. He's like, hang on a second. And he got a big guy like to go with me.
It's that energy.
That's crazy, man. That's an intense way to grow up.
Yeah, like, honestly, I had a few conversations with my cousin about it, and like my family, to us, it's so normal. But we only really realize that it's not normal or of a different way when we escape, you know, or travel the world. You know, to us, that's the only way you should live. You know, you should always be looking over your shoulder. Out here, sometimes I'm naturally just paranoid, just naturally, like, you know, if I'm at a restaurant, I got to sit closer to the door. I need to be back corner. I need to see everybody.
Yeah.
Because I'm paranoid. So we're so used to that way and we feel like that. But once you travel the road, you start to witness like just me coming to Austin, just how peaceful and just happy people are. And it's just not like happy like they want something from you. Like, and it's sometimes passive, but it's more relaxed. And it's just like, dang, like, it's okay to relax and take a break and chill sometimes. But these people are living in a very like fairy tale life out here compared to how I live. Like, and that's one thing with me. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm like, like, Austin is so amazing, but that's the only way I can kind of explain it to be. Like, it's, you can really become and find yourself because they have the opportunities from the text to the music, you know, even the school and backgrounds. Like, you can figure your way out even if you want a regular job. I got a job in 2 weeks, filled out like 20 apps, you know what I mean? But that was over a course of like a few days. I was really that hungry, but I was determined. If you're determined, you'll figure it out. Austin is just a place that you got to like capitalize. And a lot of people are out here, in my opinion, are very like not like very relaxed, like they don't get anything done, but they know it's going to occur.
Right.
Like, I know that check is gonna come Friday. And Detroit is just like, yo, honestly, that check may or may not come Friday. So I might have to rob somebody today, I have to go figure this out, sell this here, or get 3 or 4 jobs in the time frame to even hopefully expect that by the time Friday comes around.
Yeah. That is a very wide variety of options. Yeah,
man.
I can rob someone, I got like $8 jobs.
Man. Gotta have like 8 jobs right now, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but it's beautiful though.
So, so were you like a good, were you a good student growing up? Were you a
excellent student, man? Yeah, like really good student. Early on, like elementary to like middle school, just like 3.5 and up type. Once I started playing sports, I started to play around too much. You know, I started to get active with the, you know, cool kids. I was popular at a point of 9th grade and on because I joined like this track team and I got a nickname, the youngest on the team. So it was just extra stuff.
What was your thing? Were you
like, track football?
Okay.
Yeah. But track was the one that kind of got me extremely popular because I used to switch schools a lot too. So like,
you guys moved a lot?
Yeah. Just a few times, like really only twice, but like I don't know, it was a lot going on, but like schooling, we had to switch a couple times. Then I got into some trouble too, so yeah, had to switch on. But once I got to high school, I just became kind of super lazy with my academics. You know, I was always, you know, excelling still, but I didn't even think about it because I just was this thing, you know. So, but one thing I could say for real, like when it came to like schooling, I never really understood it because I was always in this world of like my actuality outside of this. It was just so hectic, you know, and just going to school, we was always getting into fights and stuff because my older brother is a homosexual. So he was very into himself as a young age. I've always seen him happy. So we're going to school, I'm literally having to fight people every day. Like, it was like the most stressful stuff. But so at a point where I would go home, my mom, we didn't even watch TV on the weekends.
Defending him and stuff?
Yeah. So, and that's every day, like literally, or somebody would say to my mom, I was just super sensitive, like, you know. But then again, we didn't watch TV on the weekdays. So my mom was like serious about our, you know, academics, like yeah. trying to stay as keep us busy, keep us in the house, like, you know, don't go outside at this point. And then it got crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that must be tough because, you know, there's a lot going on out there and you're trying to keep your kids. Was your dad around?
Nah, never. No? Nah. And then, you know, I had father figures, you know, in and out of my life, like, yeah. you know, uncle or coach. I had a stepdad for a little period of time in my life. That's when we moved to Inkster, Michigan, which is probably like 20 minutes from where we were. But not really. You know, my mom was kind of like the dad and the mom trying to instill, but she instilled a lot of love. So the other stuff and activities that I got into kind of instilled other morals. So, yeah.
Yeah. What? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, actually in my household, just three. So I just got two brothers and one sister, but my dad, you know, he got a lot of kids out here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What about music, man? How did that find its way?
I mean, I've been in choir my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since young, you're a little pup out here, and my little brother made the beats. Like, Will was on the drums, so he's making my beats now too. So it's hella ironic, but.
Oh, you work with your brother?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Organic Geniuses, what is that, you and?
So that's a collective that I started like 2011, 12 with my good friend Rakeem Miles. And yeah, that's just basically a collective of probably a bunch of people that just are very talented. And we actually just kind of like clicked back up because you know, we got a little older, everybody's egos kind of got a little excited, so we had to part. And you know, it's a weird thing how like as men we grow and yeah. we get to a point in time where we start like, you know, accepting ourselves. But it's like a weird time because I know as a human, you know, at this time, like, I know you messed up, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's yeah. just like, oh, we got to build that. And you, somebody, I think it was Mac Miller that passed, and Rakeem reached out to me. He was kind of emotional one day. He was like, yo, man, honestly, let's kind of talk. And we talked about it. I went to L.A., met with him and stuff like that. So we're all cool now. But ultimately, that's just a very, very creative collective.
Yeah,
that's worldwide right now.
You yeah. realize it gives that sadly, that sort of experience gives you a perspective where you're like, what are we even?
Yeah.
You know, why are we not talking?
Yeah.
Like, you could die and I'd never see you again. And that's it.
Man. That's yeah. crazy. But like, you know, that's, man, that thought alone is weird. For I was just talking to my mom about that last night. But along with the, you know, us breaking up, it really allowed me to realize, because I never focused on my own brand. I was always Organic Geniuses, trying to keep everybody together, trying to keep the collective, you know, of a certain energy. You know, just it, man, it was arguments almost every week. Like, you know, it was so much because we're all from different areas and we were all like alphas. And you get so many alphas, it's just like, yo, bro, somebody got to take the fall today. And nobody wasn't trying to do that at certain times. So, but that really led me to realize, like, or have some sort of perspective of who I wanted to be as Mike Melano. And then that was 2017, like December, where we pretty much broke up. And then I met my management around that time, and 2018 is when I created Go Dang Cheap has always been my like vision or what I wanted to go with things, like, you know, because Organic Geniuses, I felt like it was going to kind of like trickle down at a point, and I always wanted my own stuff. So Go Dang Cheap is my collective now that I kind of like orchestrate with. And in 2018, we just kind of like hit the ground running. Just me, my management, you know, a few others, DJs, like marketing people, just trying to like, you know, share resources, understand what the hell we wanted to do in life. And now we get to the point where like this is like the first year I feel like we're like reaping some sort of benefits or understanding of what we're going to do for real, for real. And that'd be like production, like media companies, like, you know, hopefully an agency one day. Like, that's really what I see with that. So it kind of just opened the eyes of like a bigger picture, that whole experience.
How is it that in hip hop, there's like, it's so funny because like in rock or like indie or wherever the fuck it is that I come from, there's like this like, oh, you don't have to pay me, man. I'm just like an artist, man. But like hip hop guys are the only guys that really like, fuck you, man. I'm not going to do this unless you pay me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need that in my life. Terrible at that.
That's like.
Some kind of shame about getting paid for doing, you know what I mean?
Because everybody's entitled. They feel like I've done this and, you know, and honestly, I feel like it's some sort of like egoic energy in hip hop. Like, you know, I feel like certain people, if you're really cool, like you might get a feature or whatever for free. But like, shoot, even me, sometimes you get, you know, dissed or held back for so long to a degree. You kind of have this energy of like, yo, when it's my time, forget everybody, like straight up. So it's even situations that I can mention for days that it's just like, I know when it's time, my number is going to be hard to reach me just because of the actions, you know. So it's just a weird energy. And also, like, depending on the person, artist, but I know I had to start, you know, charging people with features and stuff because if it's somebody I don't know.
Don't you say that in one of your songs?
Yeah.
Because even when you said that, I was like, fuck, man, I just played on someone's fucking record the other day for nothing. Nah, like, oh, man, you don't have to pay me, man. I'm just here to play.
It just depends because I do too much. Like, if I'm taking a break from, you know, my art, or if I'm doing music, that means I'm taking a break from my art or modeling or something like that. So in some way, I got to get some money. And I ain't trying to be working a regular job no more, so. And people be playing, so I just need my little money, you know, however I get it.
Yeah.
Going back to that little situation in Detroit, like, I mean, or that mindset is just like, I got to get it in 8 ways right now. And I'm really trying to get 10 jobs, like, just creatively, just an income.
Yeah.
It's just not enough right now, so, yeah.
What's going on with all the numbers in your songs? There's a lot of numbers.
Just like angel numbers. Just significant numbers that I feel, if people don't know about them, they should probably like check them out. But I'm not a very in tune spiritual guy, but I am. I feel like I'm like a student of it. And angel numbers,
like numerology.
Yeah, numerology. Trying to figure out, like,
I've never understood numerology. I'm terrible at math anyway, so I've been scared of it.
It's
I feel like I wouldn't even be able to understand it.
It's something that I suggest, you know, maybe a second or two, just take some time and read upon it. But it's one of them things where I feel like we're very, very, we don't really even know what's going on. So by not knowing what's going on, and when you find information, you realize that everything has some sort of calculation, and numbers have a different language that we may not know if you don't have the education for it. And when you see certain numbers in 3, like 444 or 333222, like, they carry a different energy, like, you know, from protection or just making sure you're on the right path, just certain things to keep people narrow in their life, or if anything, to kind of like look at your current situation and kind of adjust. I think 666, a lot of people get afraid of it because of, you know, what they believe it, you know, the devil and shit, you know, but If you really look deep into the number, man, it's crazy. Like, how, if I could say this table right here is not even a table, it's a cup, and I have a certain level, and I start, you know, breeding people, and then I teach them that this is a cup, that's all they're going to know. But if I tell you something different about this, that this is a table.
Right, right.
And it serves its purpose.
Right, right.
So it's like with these numbers, I feel like people, it's weird for a person to kind of like negate some sort of like, you know, dialogue about it, because it's only my experiences.
Yeah.
So I'm like, 666 has popped up in my life, my whole life. So I was like, okay, dang, am I a demonic person or something? Like, no, I always was having nightmares because melanoma is the bringer and source of nightmares.
Oh, really?
Yes. So like, and that's because I've been having nightmares since a kid, and my mom was the only one to bring her out, and that's a female, it's a Greek goddess. So that's like the whole energy. But that was way before. I've been saying the number before that. So my whole energy was just like, where is it coming from? And I grew up in church, so it was scaring me sometimes. Then I started to learn about it. And, you know, it's really, if you see that number sometimes, it's just about like being aware of where you're at right now.
Right.
So it's just science.
It's like in tarot, you know, the death card doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to die.
And if it does, very, that don't mean it's going to be today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're in Detroit, and when did you start, like recording? Like, how old are you?
27.
Okay, so there was, like... there was like MySpace and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Was it when you started out?
Man, I wasn't even recording at that time.
Okay, okay. Yeah, when did you chilling. Start? What was going on? Did you just do it at home and then put it out?
Start a little laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, the little recording part on your laptop, play the beat off your phone or another laptop or something and try to figure that out. And I was like probably like 9th, 10th grade or something. But I really started recording like 17, because I played sports. So to be honest with you, I thought I was gonna be in like the NFL or something. I just couldn't gain weight. I go to these camps and these people be like, oh man, you're so dope, but gain some weight. So I get super depressed, try to go eat all these burgers in one night, and it seemed like it'd disappear. I don't know where it's at. Maybe it start coming back later on, I don't know. And that's kind of scary, because I think about that too. Like, what if, in, you know, I turn 30 and I get a belly or something? I'd be kind of sad. But I probably have to do, you know, some workouts or something like that. But yeah, I started recording, like, you know, once I kind of got out of high school and got a little serious, because my cousin been kind of in it my whole life, but they were just kind of trash when I was young, so I didn't really want to kind of work with and, like, really do it, you know, for real, until I went to college and didn't make the team. And I was like, dang, maybe I should kind of really do what I ultimately wanted to do. So, yeah, so, like, probably, like, 18 in college and shit, that's when I really kind of did it for me. But that was, like, Mike Melano, though. Before that, I had other little names.
Okay.
Yeah.
What when were you drawing all your whole life and painting and stuff?
Did like you ever class, did school, you... yeah, all that. But I never took like nothing serious, but it was just like little art class, and I used to always like draw my little books, little Dragon Ball Z characters, little faces and stuff.
Can I ask you a question? In meetings, are you a guy that doodles?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, me too. That's
I just like to do something.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's...
That's an active, there's a book about that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, there's a guy, I didn't read the book, but I saw him on like CBS Sunday Morning or something, where he was, people make fun of me for that, like in meetings, like serious meetings, I'm like drawing little faces and stuff.
I got
and
to. It helps the mind.
It helps you listen. Facts. It quiets down a certain part of your mind so you can get the information that the people are talking about.
I never even thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because like when I am in that peaceful mindset, it's just like kind of silent.
You have the sort of hyper creative personality, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I'm trying.
Yeah, I mean, you put it in a lot of different places. So how much time do you I mean, yep, your art's fucking great.
No, I appreciate
you're
it.
A great artist, and we both talked about this before. We're both Basquiat fans.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, same. So, top man. I wish I could have met him.
There's something about the intensity of his paintings and all that yellow.
Yeah,
and
the
weird teeth and.
But you even know. Like, you know, the messaging, the words.
Yeah, of course.
Shapes. Like his art was like one of the pieces where I would look at and you really would never know what you're looking at. Like I would, because for me, when I look at art, like I don't try to like for me, I'm more interested in this middle piece.
Right.
Because I can see those.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you can see something, it don't really tell the story as much for me.
Right.
So when I can identify and ask questions and just, what were you thinking to make that color that?
Yeah.
That's kind of like a Basquiat, I feel. It's just like, what the hell was you, like, you know, what are you talking about? And then you go in depth or read an interview or watch an interview or whatever, and then he's kind of like dissecting and it makes more than enough sense. So,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you go to a lot of shows and galleries and...
Nah, I need to.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't really listen to too much people music. I don't really listen to go out to events, but I would like to go out to events. I get inspired every time. I just don't be knowing because my head is always down.
Yeah.
Trying to figure stuff out.
Well, it's hard because, like, you moved here to this place that has a hip-hop scene and has great hip-hop artists, but doesn't focus on it as a thing.
Yeah, but I have a bunch of theories for that. I mean, it could be a way of, wow. I mean, I think about this so much. As great as you think your music is, it may not be that great. So the one thing with locals everywhere, and I was just talking to my manager about this, is just you got to put stuff in perspective of like, if I can get this in another city, or if I can get this, if this is famous and you're copying famous material in the Sonics, like, and you're not giving me anything unique, it's kind of hard for me to put you on a plateau to exonerate what you're trying to put out to the world. It's kind of hard because in that way you will only be imitating or emulating Kendrick that's coming down in a week. We want to see Kendrick. Right. You got to give us something on this level to make us kind of like look around a bit more. Like out here, everybody's like, and it's a bunch of talent. Like, I mean, I'm new here, so I don't really know what was going on past 3 years ago. But since I've gotten here, like, and I met so many talented artists, and we all talk about the same thing. It's just about like really trying to identify with your brand, understand what you're trying to do. Because why would I, as a city, focus on hip hop, a genre that's very popular to the world, if I can't really give the world anything from this genre that's under our feet? And another thing, if you have the live music and everything else that's been very successful for you, why would I even invest my money into this when this is the bread and butter of my city? So as a hip hop artist, turn heads, do something different, think of a different song, work with a different producer. If you hear the same, and it's, I mean, I know it works. I know people kind of like imitate stuff and they get caught on and you try to tell your story then. Nah, like for me, I've been doing this so long that I could have been followed the trend and it went along somebody else's path and probably would have been famous. But by that time, would I be paying? Probably not. I would have rather waited this long time and picked up these talents accordingly and identify what the hell I really want to do. Because like, I don't mind being in any city and doing anything, but like, I don't want to be a local artist for the rest of my life. No, like, you know, I want to tour the world. Like, I want to provide these energies and touch the people accordingly. Yeah. So while you are in a local space, identify that and just give us something different. Don't give me Kendrick Lamar when I listen to Kendrick Lamar. Like, that is a top-notch artist. I don't want you. What you talking about? If it's the same story or similar, man, it's many ways to kind of like bypass that energy and just like tell your story in a very unique way, to define it as you and not a manipulated like energy among someone else's craft. So
yeah, I don't have like the world's greatest knowledge of everything that's going on in hip hop right now, but I think that what you're doing is very unique. You have a very unique voice, and there are guys like Zeely and Franchise and what they're doing with Black Alack and stuff that I think is very unique.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, and I mean, I appreciate that for real, because I'm trying.
Yeah. And I've had this, I mean, with Zeely, definitely I've had this conversation about that whole, like, figuring out who you are and your voice and everything. Yeah. And I feel like you have a really strong handle on,
I ain't going to lie to you. Like, at this point in my life, it's only two ways it's going to get right. And I'm trying my best to stray a certain path. So I'm going to put all my energy into this. If I got to work three more jobs to fund myself, if I got to do all this, whatever the heck I got to do to get this off the ground, I got like my friends, I got my family, I got my manager people. I want these people to benefit in real life. So I'm not saying it's my duty, but I just have this goal in my mind that I'm like, I'm not going to stop until like, you know, I can't do anything else. And I just have a nephew now. Like, it's not about me no more. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this little baby, like, you know, what if I was to pass away in 20 years? Like, what have I helped this baby? How? Yeah. Did I leave anything for this baby? That ain't got shit to do with what's going on. You know what I mean? So at this point, I mean, my mama tired. Yeah. I'm trying to really get it. Like,
yeah, you're trying to take care of your people.
Man, it's either that or what? Like, McDonald's is always hiring. But if I can't get the building, like, what am I doing? Like, that's just how I'm really looking at this.
Yeah.
That's cool though. I enjoy it.
Do you kind of split your? Do you have like an art studio or art space in your place and like?
Nah.
Okay.
I thought about it. I want though. I want one.
Yeah.
But nah, not yet.
I have a couple of friends. One of them that doesn't really do the art professionally like he does music, but he keeps the two rooms going. So when he can't get one thing going, he goes in the other room. Like, if he can't write a song, he goes and makes a painting.
So is that all in his apartment? Or room?
I guess in his house. Yeah.
House? Oh, yeah. See, that I would do something like that.
Yeah.
I like that the most. Like, when I had my apartment, I kind of had that energy. In my room, I would kind of paint. Or, you know, I have the studio in the living room. Yeah. And it's just like two different worlds. You got all this paint. Well, all my paint was everywhere. But I've kind of like tricked myself to believe that every moment of seeing my art is a good thing, because it's therapy at a point. So art to me is not even like, art is like a weird experience right now, because it was like therapy to get through depression and try to better myself as a person. So now that I do it and make money from it and orchestrate accordingly, it's just like, it's like, would this ever be fun if I make it the industry of what I see it as? Right. Like, you know, yeah. Like I want my music. So I'm trying to like, because I feel like it's, my art is going to pick up regardless because of it being a very unique thing. People, when you've never seen nothing before and you see it so often,
yeah.
People start to gravitate towards it. And I've witnessed that already. So I'm like, you know, once my music gets right, like my art will make more sense to me. Right now, I just like it as therapy. Like, you know, it pays the bills, whatever, but like, it's like some therapeutic shit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to ask you and I just spaced it out. Are you looking to perform more or live or go on the road or
what, go on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not just do the same show overseas. Every week over here. Overseas.
Yeah. That's man. Only thing we think about right now is just tour. Obviously, dropping an album. That's the first thing we care about. Getting that out successfully, give it to the people. Once the album out is, that's the real work, you know. So we just trying to, you know, work on the tour, work on our fan base, target, like, you know, our markets, be a little smarter on certain moves and execute and reap. But honestly, for real, 2020, I'm just trying to get on the road. And I would like to be overseas as much as possible next year. Because, like, going overseas a couple times, it's a different energy over there. Like, the United States is going to mess with me regardless because I speak English.
Yeah.
Over there, they don't know when they're going to see you again. So they really embrace these moments and have real life, like historic. Like it seemed like they, obviously because they're overseas, so I can imagine. But like how they explained it to me is just like, we don't know when you're going to be back. We love your music now, so you may die, you may do this, or we appreciate it more. So I was like, damn. So I just want to go over there more. And also I want to go to Tokyo just to kind of like do art there.
Yeah.
I just feel like some cartoon ideas and color, like, you know, children books and all this stuff I got going on. So yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Do you, who did the video for 444?
Oh, Shelly Nix. And Shelly Nix and I directed it. But okay. Yeah, Shelly Nix, yeah.
That's a great video, man.
Man, I appreciate you for real. Yeah. Like, that's one of my favorite videos that I've done yet. Yeah.
Are there more? Are you going to do more for this
record? Yeah. We got another one. Just getting in the works right now, just in the process, you know, editing room. And then I'm going to start working on some more for 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you, like, when you co-direct a video, how do you do it?
Well, it's just a few steps, but, like, the simplest possible is just, I got this journal. So I write in my journal. Yeah. I sketch every scene out.
Okay, so you storyboard.
Storyboard, and then I translate everything into, like, you know, computer docs, and then, you know, I have my meetings with Shelly, and then we talk about it, and then we get the people, and then we start shooting.
Do you know how to work a camera and shoot?
How to shoot, but, like, am I zooming in and doing all that? Nah, I'm more in the editing room and right behind the director and showing him shots, like, nah, this angle here. You know, very in tune, but I try to leave that on Shelly as much as possible. Sometimes I might get behind the camera, but like, nah. One day I would like to, though, just completely just direct. Like, it's not even my video.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to learn, but Shelly is different.
To do videos for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially out here in Austin. Like, yeah. You know, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah. Do you, what about modeling?
Yeah, I love modeling. Modeling is another little free, fun, you know, expression that I do, yeah. Equivalent to art to me. I ain't know nothing about modeling, though. I really thought it was whack at first when I first grew up. I just appreciated from a distance, like, nah, I could never do that. I never saw myself that way. And then once I started getting into it, Shorty was just like, yo, you should tap into your femininity side. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and then she started telling me stuff, and she was like, you got to understand that it's okay as a man to say you're gorgeous. So I was like, dang, I looked in the mirror and was like, dang, I am gorgeous. And then next thing you know, like a few months later, Sony hit me up in my DM saying that they wanted me to model for them. So that's kind of how it worked.
Nice.
Yeah, but modeling is one of them things where I want to see myself, like, the fashion shows and, you know, and these very different, equivalent to how I feel with the album title, just currently laughing at jokes I don't understand. I want to be in that environment as much as possible with modeling. Like, I just want to be... my life, how I see it, if I can explain it in a month on tour, but in the process of tour, maybe my meet and greets, maybe if it's 1 week, I only got two shows or something like that in that process, maybe it was a fashion show that week, and maybe I was painting at a gallery or something like that. Like, I really see my life in that way, so that'd be pretty dope, though.
I see that way, too. It's kind of like a renaissance artist. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're just doing it. You're just putting shit out.
Man, I'm trying, man. I appreciate that for real, though.
Yeah, man.
Because I hear this stuff in my head. Like, I see it. But when other people see it, it's just, like, heartfelt. Like, I feel like my mom feel. Because, you know, that's why I'm bringing her out, to just get this good energy. Just see, you know, how Austin, you know, appreciate her son to a degree. Like, that's all she ever wants, you know. So, it's very good energy right now. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What do you... can I ask you some weird questions?
It's whatever.
What are you listening to, music?
This dude, man, I feel like I've been saying his name wrong, but Makala, Makala, and it's like called Big Boy Mak, Mock, Big Boy Mock.
Okay,
that song is crazy to me.
Okay,
one of the greatest songs I've heard. But Toro Imoy, that very talented dude. Yeah, I don't really. I mean, Sade and Pantheon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's kind of like really all I've been listening to lately.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, matter of fact, I lied. I actually started back listening to the Hot Boys and 3-6 Mafia. Because just listening to music that I grew up on, just trying to get that nostalgic feel. And I just found out that I was 7 years old when I first saw Lil Wayne and the Hot Boys on my TV. So that was crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was like my first time seeing like rap to its fullest like that. And seeing it like that was like, yo, what? You couldn't get no crazier than that.
Yeah,
and looking at the videos now, me being a 7 year old, seeing the boobs and that, like, yo, that's crazy to me. But yeah, I'm trying to dabble in a lot right now, though. Oh, also, Jay Wild just dropped a project. I think it was a month or so ago. I've been listening to that. That's a very dope project for real.
Yeah. There's a couple other things I wanted to ask you. One of them was, and I'm not laughing. Mm-hmm. You were homeless.
Oh, yeah. a couple times, shit. But this year, it was the summer. Yeah, I was just homeless on some bull. But in a nutshell, some payments ain't come. Yeah, man, it was crazy. You know, in the process of this going on, like, I was just... it was moments where I just didn't even know, like, I was about to make it out of this. Like, you know, it was super weird because I couldn't get a job for a moment. But then everything started to be... It was one night where I was just like, yo, I think it's about to be in for me. Like, I ain't really trying to live no more because I started to get depressed. I'm like, I already came out here to Austin with $8, and then I got up. Now everything to be stripped was just like, bro, I don't know nobody out here. Me and my girl ain't been together for over a year now. So I've been out here by myself technically, you know. So it was kind of like very scary, but a lot of my friends, a lot of people that... Because I wasn't telling nobody. I just was showing up to gigs. I remember I had a DJ gig just showing up. Everybody, oh, Mike, what up, what up? Wasn't telling nobody. We just having a good time, you know. And then one day I told a couple friends, and then they was like, yo, one dude almost cried. Other homie got a job for me. Another homie got a job for me. So I started working, like, two jobs since, like, the beginning of, like, August up until, like, I just quit Amazon Monday. So, like, I just been working these two jobs 7 days a week, like, just slaving. But, you know, it was worth it, though, you know. It needed to happen. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about, like, just reality. Like, you know, the music stuff is cool, but in the process of trying to do something, when you living in America, in this society, you got to be smart around everything. Like, if you don't have the money, bro, you might need to get a little job. It's okay. Just grind it out real quick. And I read a book one time, and it was basically saying real artists don't starve. And that was the name of the book. And it was basically alluding on the concept that, like, if you're an artist and you want to get to a certain level, you would do everything possible.
Yeah.
Everything possible to get it done. So getting a job, forget the egos.
Yeah.
Forget how you think your art is great. Forget all that. It don't matter no more.
Yeah.
Because right now you got to pay rent or you're going to be back outside. So, hey, got on the horse and got on it.
Yeah. I had this guy that put out this record of mine, and he used to say, starving artist is a poor career choice.
Yeah, yeah. Facts. It's the worst. Yeah,
it's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got out of that.
Man, me too, and my mom. You know, and it's crazy because I didn't tell none of my family until, like, I told my mom, like, last month. My mom was just like, boy. Like, my mom is just always amazed because I'm doing something. Like, I ain't asking for no permission. I just do it, and I tell her months later when I'm already good, and she'd be so scared. Just like, dog. I can't believe you. Why you didn't ask? It's just like, y'all ain't got no money back at home. What I'm asking for? Like, you know what I mean? We all broke.
Yeah.
Technically. $2,000, $500. Like, yo, that range or to $10,000 is not a lot of money. Like, it's good for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. But if you spend accordingly, bro, like, that money is gone. And when you're constantly an artist investing into your career, no major capital.
Yeah.
Man, that's when $500 look like $3 million.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's so, it's, you know, I had to do what I had to do, but I swear it was the greatest thing. I came up with a better concept for the album, because the album was just supposed to be an EP, like five tracks. It was two records that I put out already, 666 and 777. And it was going to be 333 and 444 and 222 on there. So it was going to be pretty much just an energy for the summer. But when a homeless situation happened, I scrapped a lot of records. Put the records just that I left out, that I put out already, just didn't add them to the album. It just became a different mindset and purpose for me. Because now I'm looking at it as, if I die soon, would I have put everything into a body of work ever? You know what I mean? Because I'm always waiting for the next big moment. You know, because I can't wait for Fader to put me on a cover so everybody's looking, so I can be like, this is my story and this is how, and get super creative. But what if that moment didn't come for you? And say, you know, December 12th was just my time. Would I ever been able to put a heartful moment into a project? So I was just like, well, let me, you know, put some more energy into this album. And then it became what it was. So,
wow. Do you suffer? Do you mind if I ask, do you suffer from depression normally?
For sure.
Yeah. How do you keep yourself? I'm seeing you on the day where the city's giving you a day. So today's probably not a big depression day.
I mean, shoot, it probably the most, because I don't really know how to feel. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, nowadays, the more, ever since I moved to Austin, man, I'm not lying, man. My life has dramatically changed. I don't know. Like, it's so hard to explain stuff, because it's like, if you'd have asked me 8 years ago where I would have been, I would have been probably saying some football stuff. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, I probably would have been saying I was famous by now. So to be here, not famous, to be here with two other crabs with a way better mindset and understanding of my life.
Yeah.
Yo, to get in a day in the city that I'm not from, it's just like,
pretty awesome.
It is, but it's just like, dang,
it's weird.
What's real life? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
show business is totally like that, though, Mike.
That's crazy.
Like, get ready,
man,
for it, because it's weird.
Man.
Two things, complete opposite things are happening at once all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Man, every freaking day.
Yeah. I have this memory with Einar, that photo there.
Uh-huh.
We were on this label that was owned by Lars Ulrich from Metallica on Elektra, and we did this big photo shoot with, like, this big photographer, and they had all these assistants, and they got an RV to come pick us up in New York, and then they took us back in a limousine, and it was just this whole fucking thing. And before the limousine got to the hotel that was paid for by the label, I mean eventually by us, but we didn't, we stopped at the ATM because we were going to go out and get some drinks, but we stopped the ATM not just to get money, but to see if we had any money to get out in a limousine. We were in a limousine and we were about to be dropped off, and we checked the ATM to see if we had any money to go get a drink.
And did y'all have any money, though?
Collectively, somebody did.
Oh, okay. That's crazy.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a weird business, man. You know that song Fame by David Bowie?
No.
You know? It's interesting. It's kind of his thing, like, you're...
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard a couple records from him. So he's like one of them dudes, like, every time I hear him, I'm like, dog, I probably should listen to his whole discography.
I bet it's, there's some stuff that'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, are you like a guy that went back and, like, you know, I know guys like... a lot of guys like Dr. Dre, and a lot of the very early hip hop guys were guys that were super into like the 70s electronic music, like Kraftwerk and stuff. Like, you ever get into that stuff?
Or? Well, I mean, I don't really even know the era that I was even listening to, but I'm more like the Cab Calloway to like.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm super influenced by just jazz, so I just listen to a bunch of John Coltrane. So, like, I've dabbled in that realm. But, you know, one thing with me, like, when somebody's telling me how great a person is, it's. I don't know why I kind of delay my time until I hear him enough to come to me. Like, if I just get a David Bowie like project in my hand, I'm going to listen to it. Or if I get a link, I'm going to listen to it. But if it's like in the moment, just like, yo, I swear it's gone in 3 seconds. And I'm like, wow. But I honestly, you know, the crazy thing for real, like I enjoy that music the most when it comes to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, my next project, even though this super random, but like for real, like I'm trying to expand my sound so much and just get into, you know, the studios with real musicians and just work on the production now, man, that I can just see that listening to that album could, like, you know, affect my craft in a tremendously, like, large way. Like, so, like, that's somebody that I probably should write down, though. Like, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to check them out. But, like, I'm trying to, like, get to the point where I can be able to have a whole set of, like, alternative, like, kind of R&B shit.
Right.
And then have a whole set of just, like, super raging, you know, crazy mosh pits and rap hip-hop shit.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, really do a lot of work right now.
Yeah. That's funny. His last album that he made... He made with these jazz musicians, and it came out like 2 days before he died or something.
Damn straight.
And but he and the producer of that record were only listening to Kendrick Lamar's album at that time. That was all he was listening to at the time. It's funny how it goes back and forth and feeds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of music, and it's the ultimate gift. Congratulations on being Austin Music Foundation's Artist of the Month.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, for real.
I know they love That's you dope. Over there.
Man, I love them too. I appreciate them. Good energy over there.
Or we love you over there. Why do I exclude myself from the gang? It's been great having you on. I know there's probably a lot of stuff I'm missing, but man, it's really great to meet you. Honestly, you are a really inspiring artist to get to talk to.
And it means a lot, man. For real. Man. I feel good. I appreciate the opportunity, man. I appreciate your conversation, your insight. I'm definitely going to check out David too. So, yeah.
I'm sure. Going to make sure. You guys got to listen to some Bowie. No, I think there's a lot of stuff you'd like. I have a feeling you're going to come across like his one acoustic song and be like, what the fuck is this guy? But he did a lot of crazy stuff.
I like that.
Is there anything people should be looking out for? They can find you at goldaintcheap.com.
Oh, yeah. Everything would be pretty much there. And just follow me on social media. Yeah.
It'll already be out by the time. This will come out, I think, sometime next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll be Friday. In New York. So that'd be perfect. Yeah. Right.
What are you doing in New York?
I just got some shows, you know, just playing an album for people.
Nice.
Hopefully just staring at the tall buildings. But I heard it's cold. I forgot. So I'm probably going to be inside.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, here's one last question. There is one question I did have from the very beginning, which was, is it just because I saw the movie 8 Mile, or is like the hip hop scene in Detroit very battle oriented?
All right. So basically... no, because that is hilarious.
And you were like probably like 6 when that movie came out or something.
Man, I don't even freaking know. But yeah, you know what's crazy? Honestly, the scene out there is very competitive, like that energy. But I don't think they really rapping like that now. It was like that back in the day, though.
But I know that. I mean, the rock dudes. Like, do you know this band here, Leopold and His Fiction?
No.
Oh.
That's crazy, though. See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Detroit be having some legendary shit going on I don't know about. Like,
yeah, the MC5, they were... Yeah, they have a song that starts off. It's in the 70s, like the they were in the White Panthers. They were part of this weird trying to align with the Black Panthers as white dudes. Yeah, there's one of the guys, like their manager. Yeah, that John Lennon from the Beatles was part of their whole political movement. Yeah, it's a crazy scene.
Look at this.
MC5, man, kick out the jams, motherfucker. That's how the song starts.
I'm gonna have to check that shit out.
Dude, it's been great meeting you.
No, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing the show. I hope we get to hang out and talk again.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, man.
Good luck with everything. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Today is Mike Melano Day.
It is.
Oh, yeah. That is hip-hop artist and visual artist Mike Melano, an amazing painter, man. Find him at goldaintcheap.com. That's goldaintcheap.com, and pick up his brand new album, Collagedew, that came out last week. It is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. And don't forget, it was Mike Melano Day here in Austin, Texas on November 14th, the day before his album dropped. That's pretty exciting. What a great conversation. What an interesting dude. I hope you guys all have a great weekend, whatever it is you do. Don't forget that tonight, if you are in the North Austin area, say Round Rock or Pflugerville, come on out and see Skyrocket at Hanover's. Always a good time. I promise you. I promise. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great, great weekend, whatever it is you do. Let's get down. Packing the pot with the pot I pissed in. No, really, I'm hoping you broke a mission. Bitch, I'm on the way. I'm the new wave. Make a new way for me. Y'all in the way. Time to get paid. I know the way to feed.
Y'all in the way, fuck out my face. I got a place to be. Y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way. I'm the new wave, make a new way for me. Y'all in the way, time to get paid. I know the way to feast. Y'all in the way, fuck out my face. I got a place to be. Y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way.
Y'all KKK keep on.
Y'all in the way, I'm the new wave, make a new way for me. Y'all in the way, time to get paid, I know the way to feed. Y'all in the way, fuck out my face, I got a place to be. Y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way.
Y'all in the way, I'm the new wave, make a new way for me. Y'all in the way, time to get paid, I know the way to feed. Y'all in the way, fuck out my face, I got a place to be. Y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all in the way,
y'all.